So, here we go. Surely one of the more rip-roaring sermons I will ever preach because it is on policies. One of the most spiritually exciting, irresistible, inspiring components of church life. Am I right, people? People in the atrium, they gave a big response. And yet, here I am, preaching a whole sermon to lift up this new policy at our church. Because while policies are not, let's admit it, not the most spiritually exciting, irresistible, inspiring components of church life to most of us, they are essential to church life and to our capacity to live and grow as a beloved community. They matter that much. They can even call us sometimes to the better angels of our nature. In fact, for all its formal language, if you've read the policy yet, and I strongly encourage you to do so if you haven't, for all its formal language, for all the thereofs and hereby's that are in the new policy, that's what First U's new safe and civil church policy does. It calls us to the better angels of our nature. As I said in my newsletter column this month, the explosion of the Me Too movement, with its attendant revelations about bad behavior and ethical violation so broadly spread throughout our society, has opened a lot of eyes, and we are aware, perhaps as never before, of the ways that people do not act in the ways that we should. Such violations seem to be everywhere. And in some instances, we are not surprised at all. And in some instances, we're blown away. But the gift of this tumultuous time is the reminder that it matters a great deal how we are with each other, how we behave with each other, not just in terms of sexual ethics, though surely also there, but also in terms of respect and care and mutuality and support. Sometimes we have to spell these things out with each other in order to be clear not just what is not acceptable, but also to be clear about what is aspired to. To focus not only on how we mustn't be to each other, but how we hope to be with each other. In recent years, First U has also been looking at these questions, and so now here we are rolling out our Safe Congregation Policy, an important and long-sought addition to our church policies that outlines how we organize ourselves to make sure we are being both responsible and faithful with each other, to offer standards for our behavior here. This is why you got to read it. There are standards, and they are laid out for how we are with each other. Also for how we address important conflicts and concerns that may arrive, to delineate boundaries and commitments. And the point of this, as I said in my newsletter column, is not to police our church, but to strengthen it. To make sure that all who come here seeking a place where they can be vulnerable, where they can be open, where we can speak from the heart, and lean on a neighbor or a friend in a pew or a meeting or a chalice circle gathering can do so in the knowledge that we will all be met with care and respect. Another way to look at this, because to me they are tied, is that we do have a covenant that holds up the way we wish to be with each other. I've read it to you once already this year, but I'm going to read it to you again now because it bears repeating. It's really great. With deep joy and a profound sense of responsibility, we gather to do the work of this church. We here gathered represent those who have gone before and those who will come after. May we covenant to be together in fellowship, hearing and speaking with respect. May we covenant to care for one another, whatever our disagreements. May we promise to go forward from this meeting, gets read every month at the PRUCOM meeting, attending to the needs and feelings of us all. We are bound together as members of one body, the First Unitarian Church of Providence. We rejoice in our shared love of this church. The covenant holds up how we wish to be together. The policies are what we fall back on if we fall short in serious ways. We hope that won't happen, and we know that sometimes, even eventually, it does. Last week, I was at a conference of Unitarian Universalist ministers, as some of you know, and at lunch one of those days, the phrase safe and sacred space came up, and I was not even the one who raised it, though this sermon with its title was just around the corner and certainly on my mind. In that conversation, I mentioned my belief that the phrase is actually a misnomer. We talk about safe and sacred space, as we often do in Unitarian Universalist churches, because some of the work of living our faith requires risk. And risk is inherently not safe. Sometimes risks are more unsafe, and sometimes they are less unsafe. Certainly the point of taking risks in church, because of what we believe, the point of that is not to be unsafe. We're not high wire walkers whose every move is meant to be fraught and frightening. We are people of faith whose every move is meant to be faithful and fulfilling. But sometimes living into all that we believe, and it's so interesting to me that people have mentioned so much in this service already are principles. I laid them out here, and I don't even have to lay them all out because people have referenced them. That's how much they mean to us already. In what Joe said, in our joys and sorrows, what we believe about the inherent worth and dignity of every individual, about justice, equity, and compassion in human relations, about acceptance of each other, an encouragement to spiritual growth, about a free and responsible search for truth and meaning, the right of conscience, and the use of the democratic process, the goal of world community, respect for the interdependent web of existence of which we are a part, those things are deep and they ask of us, and sometimes what they ask of us feels risky, is risky. We risk feeling foolish, or sometimes worse, looking foolish, depending on our personalities. We risk our comfort, we risk our certitudes, we risk mistakes, or rebuff, or offense, or censure, or condemnation. We risk being wrong, and we risk being hurt, and we risk causing hurt. We risk trying and failing in something that matters. All of this is part of living a faith that evolves and that is relevant in a world that is changing. And a faith that says what we know or understand or believe today may change tomorrow, and so may change us or require change of us. And that all does not always feel safe. Can I get an amen, somebody? Another minister at the conference and at the lunch table, remember this all started from that conference, another minister said they like using the phrase that's increasingly common in UU circles, brave space, instead of safe and sacred space. But then a third minister said they didn't like brave because that suggests that whatever we're encountering in the space can be inimical to us, might threaten or destroy us, right? The things we have to be brave about are things that may injure us and be terrible for us. Which isn't the understanding they think, the minister who said this, that we need to carry in our congregations, where a lot of the courage required to engage with something intimidating, the something is intimidating, but it's good. It may be something that's hard, but it's also something that's healing or even saving. So it would be great to use language that doesn't make such important opportunities into something we are conditioned to dread. Having respected about this a lot myself in recent years. At this point in the conversation, I proposed my own solution, which is supportive space, which I actually think is a precious promise. We all need to be supported, especially now in these times that are troubled and deep, full of potential and peril. But there is a serious problem, obviously, with supportive space. I'm sure it's obvious to you already. It is a really, really unsexy phrase. It does not ring in the ear. It doesn't get you where you live. Even though we must take it seriously, supportive space sounds depressingly mundane, even to me. And still, it is one of the most faithful, important gifts that a congregation can offer its people. A place that is truly supportive, even when the world is so uncertain, even when the world is hostile. A place that says, in this beloved community, we will not let our anxiety push us into antagonism, or our frustration push us into aggression, or our insecurity push us into diminishing others. A truly supportive community, one that is as safe as we can make it, one that is civil in the face of the increasing popularity of disrespect, one that upholds sacredness when prevailing powers attack, because they do, prevailing powers attack the inherent worth and dignity of so many and so much in this world. All of that that we are holding here is treasure. These are trying times, and they require our attention, but more our understanding, and more our commitment to endure and stay strong and healthy as a church. Any church that has lived long enough knows that health cannot be taken for granted. We come here with our hopes and care, looking for a place to be in community, seeking so much, and most of all, answers to our questions, and then making those answers manifest in our living. We come here also with our hurts and our challenges. We come here seeking healing and renewal, all too aware of the ways that we all fall short of our own standards for patience or respect or generosity of spirit. Any church is only as strong, not as each of us alone, but as all of us together. Let me be very clear that when I was looking at Coming First U, everyone, including Denny Davidoff, told me that this is a healthy and strong church with healthy and strong leaders and laity and a long tradition of healthy and strong ministry. And it is obvious to me, and I am so grateful, that that is deeply true of this congregation. Our health and strength is a great gift, and also to me, an important charge to be nurtured and safeguarded going forward. We all are the grateful inheritors, I hope grateful, certainly the inheritors of all of those who have labored for centuries for the health and strength of this community. As Reverend Otis Moss III preached on the last day of that conference last week, we are all connected. We are all here because of all the others who were here before us. Everything that has happened up to now has created this moment when we are here together now with so much to accomplish and so much to celebrate. But also here, even here, because we are all fallible, there are times that people here have let their own moods or issues or hang-ups dominate our behavior, even to the length that it has oppressed or threatened or injured another. That is why we need safe and civil church policy and understandings among us. Even here, because we are all fallible, there are times when ministers have let their own moods or issues or hang-ups dominate their ministry. And I know that there are still members of this church who are tender and who will always be tender, and rightly so, about what you went through during those times. The early 1970s, when the Reverend Brooks Walker had some affairs and encounters with women in this church that violated the sacred trust of his vocation. and more recently in 2006, the year when newly settled minister Reverend Don Cameron plagiarized many of the sermons and stories that he preached here as his own personal truths and experiences. It is painful for me to even name those instances here. It's painful for me as a minister, as someone who knew Don, as someone who talked to Brooks Walker's daughter, Kate Walker, who is now herself a UU minister and a friend of mine, last week at the conference about what happened here. It's painful that those violations of ministry happened at all. And it's painful to me that they happened here, and that the sacred trust of our vocation, and I use those words so seriously, was violated here. It is also important for our church's health to name the hurts and scars that we carry. It is a testament to the goodness and capacity of the vast majority of this church's ministers that the congregation has been able to heal as it has, even including that lingering tenderness from those betrayals of ministry. And it is a testament to the love and commitment of this church's congregants that people have been able to weather and learn from the times when a member has hurt others with their behavior or attitudes. It is important for our present and our future to commit and recommit to what is required of us in order that we may be and remain bound together as members of one body, the First Unitarian Church of Providence. As the great Universalist minister Hosea Ballou put it, and it's in your hymnals, it's such a great summation. If we agree in love, there is no disagreement that can do us any injury. But if we do not, no other agreement can do us any good. Therefore, he said, let us endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bonds of peace. Or, in different terms, as the brilliant 20th century African-American writer James Baldwin put it, love takes off the masks we fear we cannot live without. And no, we cannot live within. And he went on and said, I use the word love here not merely in the personal sense of a state of being or a state of grace, not in the infantile American sense of being made happy, but in the tough and universal sense of quest and daring and growth. Call it what we will. Our safe and sacred space, our brave space, our supportive space, our loving space, our safe and civil church. This commitment is essential to our capacity and our vitality. The last and maybe most important thing I have to say about this is that to be a church like this is so important, not for what it is in itself, not for what it is in itself, but for what it makes possible. To be a strong, healthy, caring, committed, united congregation, wonderful and sometimes rare as that can be, isn't the goal. It is the means. The point isn't just to be a church like this. It's what we can do when we are a church like this. It's what that makes possible. Whatever we commit to, whatever really matters to us, whatever we know we need to do together, we will do, because we will not be torn up and squabbling with each other and spending all our time and energy on that. Everything this church has ever done was done. All the quests and daring and growth were because of strong, connected, caring congregants. Everything this church will ever do, all our future quests and daring and growth depend on those same relationships and commitments among our people now. So thank you to all the people present and all those gone before who worked to establish the understandings and processes by which we do hold ourselves accountable, and which will keep us strong and faithful. Now more than ever, the world needs our faith. Now more than ever, our faith needs our churches. Now more than ever, our churches need our people, and our people need each other. In the crucible of these times, may we give each other ever greater strength and ever strengthened faith. Amen.